I believe that you can tell the difference between a godly woman and an ungodly woman. I believe you can tell the difference between a woman who has the Spirit of God in her heart and one who's living for herself. And in Titus chapter 2, I think we find 8 responsibilities, but also 8 marks of a young mother, of a young woman. But before we get there, I want to look at Zechariah chapter 4. And we got a little feedback on here, so if we could just... there we go. Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6. Would you stand as we read God's Word together? And let's read this verse together. And we're just going to read the last part of the verse, beginning with "not by might." Okay, let's read that together. Zechariah 4, 6. "Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." And then would you turn over to Titus chapter 2? And then we read, beginning in verse 3 through verse 5. And just think of these aged women and these young women, filled with the Spirit of God, controlled by the Spirit of God, concerned about God's will and the Spirit's moving in their life. Look at verse 3. "The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women," and here's those 8 characteristics, "to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands." Why? "That the word of God be not blasphemed." Let's pray. Now, our Father, thank you that you're not just our Father because you created us. You are our Father because you paid a price to adopt us into your family. And now we ask that we would live as sons and daughters of the Most High God, that we might be one of the 1,000 generations that serve you on this earth. And that though no one else care to live your word, that we would, and that we would seriously follow you tonight. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want you to see that a young woman, specifically married young women with small children or medium-sized children, children who are still in the home, that the testimony of the Word of God is at stake here. The testimony of the Word of God is at stake because of our attitude. It speaks of seriousness, sober-mindedness. It speaks of being discreet, the idea of having a sensibility to your decisions that you make. It speaks of being a lover of your husband if you're married. And I'm going to talk about the application of that phrase eventually to the singles, because every word of God is applicable to everybody here. And we need to apply that verse to the singles also. And all of these things have to do with the power of the Word of God. Do you believe that the Word of God is powerful? Do you believe that it divides asunder even soul and spirit? Do you believe that it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart? We do not want this blasphemy. And the fact of the matter is, either the Word of God is having an effect on your life or it's not. And the way that you can tell, young women, is if these characteristics are part of your life. I believe in the power of the Word of God tonight. And I believe that it can change anybody because it changed me. And you can give all your excuses. I was raised with every wicked thing that you can think of. And I remember thinking, God, when are you going to change my mind? I wish I didn't have all this junk in my mind. Do you know what? As I put the Word of God in, the garbage came out and it stayed out. I want that to happen to a lot more people. If you're saved, you want that to happen to a lot more people. And the Word of God is powerful. And it can change. People call this church all the time in horrible circumstances. We need to believe that God can change them. Let's talk about that first word. Sobriety, sober. The young women, that they may be sober. And what I have here for point number one is that young women are to be serious-minded. They are to be serious-minded. Because is there anything more serious than your eternal destiny? Is there anything more serious than the fact that people are going to live forever somewhere? Is there anything more serious than that? Now, we have to be serious-minded, and this is addressed to young women. Now, whether you're a young woman or a young man, eternity should always be on your mind. We're living between heaven and hell, and this life is short. And after this life, you're going one of two places, and that's it. That's really the bottom line. Is there anything more serious than that? How can we be so shallow when it comes to the Word of God? How can we be so serious-minded about non-important things in this life, like our entertainment? I was talking to somebody the other day. We're supposed to only be 6 hours, right? How many hours were we in the car, Brother Larson? 11.5 hours. And we saw some amazing things there at that museum. Some amazing things. Nobody in the history of the world has ever seen anything like it. Except for Adam and Eve. We drove back a little shorter time. How much time did we spend there? When was the last time we invested that kind of time into somebody's life? Even in our own family, where we hungered, fasted, prayed for God to work in our lives. And then we wonder, why isn't the Word of God real to us? Because we don't know God. We know Him, but so often He's over here. And His agenda is not what we're doing. And young mothers, if I could just, you know, we're just about to have, Luke was just invited into the world, and we're about to have 3 more young babies in our church. And young mothers, if I could just challenge you, be serious-minded about what you're doing there. They're not an annoyance. They're children. They're your mission field for 18 years. Give everything that you have, not just teaching them the Word of God, but live the Word of God before them. Live it before them. This is a living, breathing book. I'm going to give you some ideas of how you can live the Word of God. But be serious-minded. Because before you do anything else, you've got to take this seriously. What is seriousness? Commitment. Time and attention. Seriousness means costly. If you're serious about getting to work, you're going to spend $20,000 or so, or hopefully less, on a car. It costs you something. If you want a place for your family to stay, you're going to spend $200,000 or more on a house because you want your family to be cared for. And anything that you're serious about is going to cost you time and attention, and it's going to be costly. Are you serious about the Christian life tonight? Are you serious about your family? Then, the next trait. Let me just say this. I think the greatest thing for young mothers is that they're mentors of their children. And the more mature ladies in our church are mentors of the young mothers. So that's exactly what this is all about. It's the responsibility of mentorship, mentoring. We think about the cost of disobedience, disobeying this book. It's a huge cost We make these little decisions and the cost is huge. We look at our young men that have gone to Iraq, that have come back with a deformed face, without a limb, without a leg. When you see that, you get serious. Right? You get serious. But Jesus said there are things that are dragging us and our children to hell. And if we disobey the Word of God, it very well may be that it's not to 1,000 generations in your family. It's only to you. And what is more serious than your son or daughter being cut out and kept out of the kingdom? Is there anything more serious than that? Young ladies, be sober-minded. And I know you get discouraged because motherhood is a roller coaster. And it goes around, and as you're yelling stop to the conductor, it goes around some more and it goes faster and faster and you can't handle it and you don't know when it's going to stop. The Lord knows. And He will give you grace. But you have to be serious-minded. Let's go to our second point. I want to get there, but I have to say one more thing. Are you serious about your children? How about, are you serious about the entertainment that they watch? Are you serious about that? Are you serious about mentoring your children? Or more mature ladies, are you serious about being a helpmeet to your husband and helping your husband? Then why do you sit by while he's watching godless entertainment on television? Why do you, parents, why do you give your children things that amuse them? You know what amuse means? Ah, not, muse, think. Not thinking. Let me tell you a story, a journey to my dorm room at Bob Jones University, my junior year, second semester, brand new room for me. Walk in, and there's an idol set up in the room. An idol. You say, really, an idol at Bob Jones University? Yeah, an idol. Idolatry going on right there in the room. And there was all kinds of people bowing down, worshiping to it. What was it? It's a video game. The video game. Wasting their God-given time and their parents' money, being horrible stewards of all that God had given them. There were people dying and going to hell in Greenville, South Carolina, and they're sitting there caring about nothing, fantasy. And the first thing I did, if I'm going to have any effect in this room, the first thing I said, who does that belong to? Get it out of here. We got rid of it. And those boys were involved in all kinds of wickedness that I can't even describe to you. They were all freshmen. Within one semester, those young men were godly. And they were seeking after God. Why? Because of the influence of one person plus a few others. But we got out the godless influence, put in the godly influence, and things began to change. One of the young men in the room became a room leader the next semester. And he's on staff today. And all of them are serving God today. And they were involved in some very serious stuff. One demerit away from expulsion. And all I'm saying is, we've got to take our jobs as parents. If you're not a parent, if you don't have children, you still have massive amounts of influence. Take it seriously. And don't give your children to godless, worthless, vain entertainment. Let me just take one more and then we're done. Wives are to love their husbands. Wives are to love their husbands. And now let me just apply this to single people, okay? Single ladies, let me talk to you. You may wonder how this phrase has anything to do with you, and it has everything to do with you because, first of all Christians are called to love. And married women, you know the hardest thing in the world to do is to love your husband. Why? Because he's unlovable. He wasn't unlovable before you married him. He was everything because you lived in fantasy land. But when you got into the same house with him, at least, now let's be truthful, at least for the first little while, there was some adjustment. Now, if there's somebody who did not adjust the marriage, please talk to me because I want to know your secrets. But at least in my life and in everyone else that I've ever talked to, there were some serious adjustments. And ladies, you're called unconditionally. It's a command. It is a command. Well, you know, he snores. Love him. Well, his belly is getting bigger. More of him to love. Well, you know, well, you know, you have no idea. He picks his ears. You're called to love him. You're called to love him. And it gets worse as the years go on, because we get uglier and we get, you know what, I'm not trying to discourage any of you single ladies from getting married. But you're called to love your husband unconditionally. Now, we all know about that command that husbands are to love their wives. But here we find that wives are to love their husbands unconditionally. But you say to the singles, what does that have to do with me? You are called to not get in your selfish world as a single, because you don't have anyone else to care for but yourself. And you can become self-centered. Now, you should be serving people all the time selflessly. You say, well, I'm not going to get married. Oh, really? Isn't God in charge of that? Isn't God in charge of that? I know of people, you say, well, it doesn't matter what age you are. God may... Who brings those people along? Who puts people together? You are constantly to be preparing for God's will. No matter what it is. And the way you can do that is to be loving, sacrificially. Love. So that's for the singles. Because God may call you at any time and give you the gift of marriage. I love this. In Proverbs 31 and verse 12, the virtuous woman does her husband good and not evil or harm all the days of her life. Do you know that if you are a selfish person as a single person, God may already have a person for you. And by you being selfish, you're doing your future husband harm. But if you will give yourself selflessly, and God may later give you a husband. And you get married to the husband. Well, why are you so nice? You know, we got married later, and you, what? Well, I took this seriously. I believe the Word of God. And so that's a challenge for you. But what about to married people? Ladies, you're to love your husbands. And it's not just talking about romantic love. That's involved, but that's really the lower part of it. You're to love your husband. And what this refers to, it's a determined love that is not based on a husband's worthiness, but on God's command. That means, ladies, that your love for your husband is really an extension of your affection for God, and it reveals whether or not you have an obedient heart. This is about obedience. And you're to love your husbands. It's a command. And I know that it is hard to love a guy that sometimes doesn't do you right. Isn't that right? It's hard. It's hard, but you're commanded to do it. It's not based... I'm glad that it's not based on our worthiness, because you know what? Husband, if you're honest, you're not worthy to be married to that woman that you're sitting next to. Amen? It's going to not be a very good snack tonight. I thought I was going to hear the roof come off, and I didn't, so I don't know, ladies. Listen, the truth of the matter is, ladies, that even if your husband is unlovable and uncaring and unfaithful and selfish and ungrateful, he is still to be loved. It's an unqualified love. And so you know what you must do? You must train yourself to love your husband. And that means, again, time and attention. Now, let me just close with this and we're done. In all of this that we're talking about, these traits, all of this is an extension of something that is actually going on between you and your Maker. All of our relationships and how we deal with our wife, with our children, with the people in this church, with our neighbors, all of it is an extension, it's a reflection, I should say, of our relationship with the God who loved us and sent His Son. Is your relationship with God something that is fervent? Is it something that you love? You cannot wait to meet with God? Because I don't want the Word of God blasphemed. Is the Word of God powerful? Can it change? Do you struggle with having a desire to love God? You need to get into the Word. You need to get on your knees. You need to pray. You need to wait on God. Isn't that what the Bible says? To wait on God, wait on the Lord. He'll give you the strength. You'll mount with wings as eagles. But we can't wait on the Lord. We're in such a big hurry in the Midwest. Everything's going 1,000 miles an hour. Well, you know what? Your life is going 1,000 miles an hour. And if we don't slow down, the Word of God's going to be blasphemed. The 1,000 generations will be cut off right with you. Because you weren't serious, Mike. You didn't know what agape love was. But you know what? Here's some hope. Want to hear some awesome hope as we close? You know how long it takes to change a cold heart in God's economy? How long? Tell me, how long? A nanosecond. I like that answer. God is omnipotent. How long did it take God to create darkness and light? Let there be. As soon as He said it, there was light, right? And as soon as you humble your heart before God, life comes in. The Bible becomes meaningful. It becomes serious. You become aware. And I'm praying that God will work in our church, not for His glory, for our neighbors, for our loved ones. Bring them in. This Sunday, bring them in. Let's talk about suffering. Let's talk about serious issues and the goodness of God. Because He didn't come into the world to condemn the world. Amen? He came into this world to give this world life. And that life, that testimony, is going to be reflected off of your character, ladies. And your character, men. Are you serious? Are you filled with love? Do you love this brute next to you? Are you ready to serve the Lord with Him? Let's pray.